He'd started moving his kisses down my stomach, past my belly button, and another memory of Jonathan crossed my mind. Jonathan pulled his mouth away from mine. "I love kissing your lips, Claire." "Which set?"
"Both."
He ran his hands against my bare thighs. "Well," I stifled a moan as he started to move his lips lower and lower. "Which one is better?"
"I believe it's a tie. But I'll do a comparison right now to make sure."
I felt Damien attempting to pull my pants down as he placed another kiss against my navel. "Wait," I sat up and folded my arms across my chest. "We can't."
"What?"
He kissed my stomach again and looked up at me.
"Why not?"
I needed one hell of an excuse, as much as I wanted to deny it. My body was on fire, and I knew he could feel it. "I'm on my period this week. I'm sorry that I didn't..."
"Is that why you've been so tense today?"
He raised his eyebrow.
"You think the only reason I invited you was to have sex? Or that if we didn't have sex this week, I wouldn't be interested in you anymore?"
Yeah. He shook his head.
"I'm sorry, Claire. I'm not usually this forward, and I don't want to rush things with you at all. It's just... being around you sometimes, it's hard to control myself."
He smiled as he rebuttoned my pants.
"You wouldn't believe the effect you have on me."
He moved so he was lying next to me and kissed my cheek.
"Will your period prevent you from letting me hold you?"
I laughed. "No. I would like that very much." He wrapped his arms around me, and I leaned back against him, not feeling comforted at all. His embrace wasn't the one I needed. I emerged from the bathroom in a long purple dress, one of Jonathan's purchases from months ago. I figured I might as well put all the dresses he bought me to use. They were all too elegant to wear to anything else.
"Wow." Damien stood up once I walked into the living room. "I'm not so sure about going to this ball now."
"Why is that?"
"Because someone might try to steal you away from me. You look too good to be true."
He looked me up and down.
"I think the highlight of the week will be getting to see you in a different dress every night."
He kissed my lips and led me out into the hallway onto the elevator. We were heading to the 75th floor's Sky Room to attend the conference's welcoming ball. He'd told me that all the power players needed to make an appearance and that it was pretty much an opportunity for the CEOs to show off their dates and size up the competition. If it were up to me, I would be back in our suite scarfing down the cartons of mint chocolate chip ice cream I'd ordered, not rubbing noses with the elite. Nonetheless, I'd already talked him out of making me go to the ladies-only meet-and-greet, and I didn't want to push my luck. He held the door to the ballroom open, and as soon as we stepped inside, I had to hold back a gasp. The Sky Room was... colossal. It looked like it was large enough to hold an entire football field. Its ceiling and walls were made of plated black glass, and I counted at least 20 silver chandeliers hanging several feet above our heads. There was even a massive stage at the far end that stretched across the room's imposing walls. Damien held me against his side as we walked around the room, as he introduced me to each of his friends and colleagues as his girlfriend.
"Wow. Where'd you find someone like this to put up with you?"
"She's too pretty for you."
"If you ever get tired of him, I'd be happy to take you out, Miss Grayson." "She's a vision, Damien."
I smiled at all his friends' compliments, and once he and his CFO started discussing acquisitions, I excused myself to the beverage bar that lined the side of the room. As I was pouring myself a glass, the lights above flickered, and everyone started clapping. "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2013 Juniper Conference." A woman walked on stage with a mic in her hand. "Over the next few days, we'll all be sharing our ideas on the direction of technology advancement, relaxing at one of the retreat's many spas, and trying not to kill each other since we're all fierce competitors." The room erupted in laughter. Tonight's opening ball was generously sponsored by Lowell Enterprises. Unfortunately, Mr. Lowell's flight has been delayed, so he's asked for his former apprentice to make the opening statements instead. I looked around to make sure no one was watching me, and poured an extra pint of vodka into my drink. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome founder and CEO of Statham Industries, Jonathan Statham! The crowd cheered, and I dropped my glass onto the floor, turning around to look for him. Jonathan walked onto the stage from the side, smiling at the applause, surveying the crowd. He waved at the people who were playfully screaming his name, stopping to make eye contact and say hello with those he knew personally. As he continued to look over the audience, his gaze veered towards the beverage bar, and his eyes met mine. He stopped walking and blinked. He opened his mouth like he was about to say something, but then he turned towards the crowd again and smiled as he took to the podium.
"Good evening, ladies and gentlemen," he spoke.
"Good evening," the crowd responded.
"As many of you know, this week is about fostering new friendships and rekindling ones that may have gotten lost in the madness that is technological advancement. That said, I'm looking forward to reconnecting with all of you. No, just a few of you."
The crowd laughed.
"Mr. Lowell isn't a man of many words, and he only wanted me to say a few things. Let's make sure that this conference is as unforgettable as the ones that came before it, and that tonight, the first night, is all pleasure and no business whatsoever. We have all week for that."
He flipped over a note card.
"To the newest attendees, be sure to network with those who are in your same field and choose your morning sessions very wisely. To those who have been here before, I'm sure I don't need to say much about how this works, and to those who are here with a date,"
he said as his eyes met mine again,
"there are plenty of things for you to do here during the day if you choose not to accompany your date to the tech events. Thank you all so much. Enjoy the rest of your night."
He kept his eyes on me as the audience clapped, and then he walked off the stage, shaking hands with whoever stepped in front of him. I turned around and made myself another drink. Then I felt an arm wrap around my waist. "Jonathan?"
"So, this is where you disappeared," Damien laughed. "Are you having a good time so far?"
"Yes. I need to get out of here. Could you tell me where the restrooms..." I felt Jonathan getting close before I could see him.
That electrical current that rushed through my veins whenever he was nearby suddenly shocked me into silence. "What were you saying, Claire?"
"Good evening, Mr. Edwards."
Jonathan's deep voice made both of us turn around.
"It's interesting to see you again."
"Well, well, well. It's Jonathan Statham."
Damien pulled me closer, making Jonathan clench his jaw.
"I'm shocked you didn't bring up your new S-phone red in your speech. Are you actually becoming classier? Or are you taking classes on how not to be an asshole?"
"I'm taking classes. From the same lawyer who handles your divorces. Has he prevented your ex-wife from suing you for all you're worth yet? Or, wait, how many ex-wives do you exactly have now? 3? 4? Are we counting the 6-week wife from Vegas these days?"
"Touché." Damien rolled his eyes. "Claire, this is the royal pain in my ass I've been telling you about. Jonathan Statham, and Jonathan, this is my girlfriend, Claire Grayson."
"Girlfriend?"
"Yes, girlfriend. She used to work as a director in your marketing department. Small world, right?"
"Too small."
"Mr. Edwards," a woman tapped Damien's shoulder, "we have Tamisha Jay from our overseas headquarters here to see you. She wants a quick picture, if you don't mind."
"Not at all."
He kissed my cheek.
"Be right back, sweetheart."
"Jonathan?"
He walked away. I looked up at Jonathan and we stared at one another, not saying a word for what felt like an eternity. My heart was pounding against my chest. My nerves were jumping up and down, and the palpable electricity between us was pulling me closer and closer to him. Even though his eyes were cold and his lips were pressed into a subtle scowl, he looked sexier than he'd ever looked before. I took a few steps forward, without taking my eyes off him, and tried to keep it together. Jonathan, I'm so sorry.
I didn't leave you with my competition for too long, did I?
Damien pulled me against his side. He kissed my cheek again, and I could see a vein in Jonathan's neck swelling.
Have you heard about Hannigan from TrueCore, Jonathan?
He didn't wait for him to respond.
Differences aside, I think he's really onto something with his new data configuration board. It looks pretty promising.
I'll have to look into that, Jonathan stated dryly.
Thank you, Damien. What are bitter rivals for? I'm actually glad you decided to show up here for a change. It'll make for a more interesting week.
Yes. Jonathan narrowed his eyes at me. It will definitely be interesting.
Chapter 32. Claire.
Coming here is the worst decision I've ever made. I was sitting near the edge of the resort's private beach, pretending to read my e-reader, but secretly watching Jonathan walk alongside the shore with another woman. However, this woman wasn't just any woman. She was Stacy Rodriguez, world-class supermodel and designer extraordinaire. She was easily one of the sexiest women in the world. Beautifully tanned and slim body with naturally huge breasts, wavy jet-black hair, and dark gray eyes with speckles of light blue that glimmered in the sunlight. I'd been watching her and Jonathan all day. At the conference's first breakfast, they'd sat too close for comfort, laughing at little private jokes that I'd strained to hear. While Damien and I were taking a tour of the art gallery, I'd looked down from the windows and saw the two of them having a private picnic on a blanket below. I'd even seen the two of them driving carts around the resort's perfectly trimmed golf course while we were eating our lunch.
Stop it, Jonathan!
She squealed as he tossed her into the water. I jumped up, tempted to run over there and slap him for letting her get that close to him, for letting her touch him. Yet I quickly sat back down, realizing that too many people were around, and I didn't want to make a scene. Jealous, I put down my e-reader and narrowed my eyes at the sappy scene that was playing in front of me. How can he possibly be upset with me about Damien when he's dating a damn supermodel? And of all supermodels, Stacy Rodriguez. The most famous one?
Daiquiri?
Damien stood in front of me with an umbrella drink. Please.
You'll have to pay me for it first.
What? What do you... He bent down and kissed me. A slow, passionate, I know this is making you melt kiss. He tilted my chin up, pushing his tongue further and further into my mouth, softly biting down on my bottom lip, each time I tried to control the pace. I didn't care, though. I kept trying to force him to let me take the lead. I wrapped my arms around his neck, pressed myself against him, and let my tongue explore every inch of his mouth.
Whoa.
Damien pulled away from me.
Kiss me like that again and we'll have to lock ourselves in the suite for the rest of the week.
He smiled and handed me the drink. I took a sip and saw Jonathan staring at me out the corner of my eye, knowing that he'd just seen me kiss Damien. His fists were balled at his side, his face was a deadly red, and his eyes were thin slits. He took a few steps in my direction, but Stacy grabbed his hand and tugged him down the shore.
Are you okay, Claire?
Damien put his arm around my shoulder.
Is something wrong with the drink?
The drink is great. I tore my eyes away from Stacy and Jonathan. What other events are happening today?
Well, I've a few tech sessions to go to this evening, but there's the late-night benefit ball at midnight.
There's literally a ball every night this week? I thought you were joking.
I wasn't. It's a tax break thing, he laughed. There's an early entry for the highest contributors, so you and I will have to be there a little early.
What happens at early entry?
It's just a bit more intimate than the regular ball. Dimmer lights, small candlelit dinner, and first dibs on the silent auction items. If you want anything that's up for bid, let me know, and I'll buy it for you.
Oh, I probably won't even go near. He pulled me on top of him.
You should. And you should let me buy whatever you want.
He placed a light kiss on my lips.
I want you to enjoy yourself this week, so don't be shy about doing things that make you happy.
He began rubbing my back, and I looked over my shoulder to see if Jonathan was watching. But Damien turned my head back around to face him. He slipped his tongue into my mouth again, and all my thoughts blurred, leaving me lost once more.
Just like that, Claire. Two steps forward, one step back. Very good.
Damien spun me out of his arms and quickly drew me back.
You're a wonderful dancer, Claire. Did you learn, or are you a natural?
I learned.
Well, whoever taught you is one hell of a teacher. I'm impressed.
He placed his hands around my waist and I leaned against his chest. As we waltzed around the dance floor, I started to wonder if I could develop feelings for him with time, if he and I might have a chance after all. He'd been extra attentive ever since we left the beach. He skipped one of his tech meetings to join me at my massage appointment, arranged for me to take an evening horse riding lesson, and even helped me pick out which dress I should wear tonight. I leaned against his chest and looked out over the room. It was dark with a few massive candles providing the only light. On the far end of the room, in a corner that was illuminated by a yellow haze, a group of violinists played a beautiful song that reverberated throughout the space. "Ladies and gentlemen," the lead violinist said, as her companions continued to play. "We have a lot more songs that we're going to play for you tonight, but we want you to know that the lights are about to be slightly brightened, since the early entry portion of the ball has ended." The few people that were in the room clapped, and the lights became a tad bit brighter. I looked around for Jonathan. I could feel him watching me. But I could only see 10 other people in the room, and he wasn't one of them. Why does it feel like he's here, though? I heard a soft clicking sound, and the doors at the back of the room opened, allowing a large group of tuxedo-clad and ball-gown-wearing guests into the room. "As is tradition at the benefit ball, the first 15 minutes of dance should be with someone that you don't know. Once everyone is inside, my companions and I will play 3 harsh chords to indicate that it's time to find someone new to dance with, and the lights will dim again." The room started to become louder and louder as the other attendees continued to pour in, and Damien held me tighter, as if he was protecting me from everyone else. "I'm not sure if I want to dance with anyone else tonight," he whispered. "Do you?" "No."
He kissed my forehead and laughed softly. "Okay. Well, we won't. I'll keep you all to myself. I don't want..."
"Mr. Edwards?" A woman said his name and we both turned around. "I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but that shipment you asked about the other day is..." She looked at me and then back at him. "Can I speak to you about this in private?"
"Can it wait?" She shrugged.
"Sure. A $20 million shipment that was inaccurately rerouted can simply wait."
He sighed and looked at me. "Would you please excuse me, sweetheart? I won't be gone for too long. Don't give away any dances."
He lifted my hand and kissed it before walking away. "Screech, screech, screech."
The violinists scratched their violins to signal the new dance partner portion, and then they began to play a beautiful harmony.
The lights began to dim again, almost as dark as they were before, and I heard more instruments, flutes, horns, saxophones, joining in on the violinist's serenade. I walked towards the table Damien and I had shared at the candlelit dinner, weaving my way past dancing couples, but before I could sit down, I felt someone grabbing me by my waist. I tried to push the strong hands away, but it was no use. The hands gripped me even tighter, and I felt myself being pulled up against a familiar chest. Jonathan. He didn't say a word. He spun me around so we were facing one another and stared at me. He put my arms around his neck and slipped his arms around my waist, looking into my eyes with an expression I couldn't recognize. Then he began to dance with me, but it wasn't smooth and gentle like it used to be. It was rough. He gripped my sides too hard, twirled me without any finesse, and pushed me away whenever it was time to pull me close. As he pushed me away again, I realized that I needed to say something before he purposely dropped me to the floor. "It must be nice to have a world-class supermodel on your arm." I tried not to sound jealous. "I bet you two have been having a really good time in your suite since you've been here."
"We have."
"What?" I tried to untangle myself from his arms, but he dipped me low to the ground and held me there, glaring at me, daring me to say something else. I tucked my lips into my mouth. He pulled me up and continued the angry rhythm he'd established, refusing to let me go. Then he suddenly stopped dancing altogether.
"Have you slept with him?"
He narrowed his eyes at me.
"Who?"
"Don't fuck with me, Claire. Have you slept with him?" Define slept with. He pulled me close and gripped my side so firmly that I could barely breathe.
"You fucked him?"
"You slept with Stacy Rodriguez. Why do you care what I do?" He spun me out of his arms.
"I don't."
But from the look in his eyes, I knew that he did, that he wanted, needed me to say that it wasn't true.
"I don't need to do this to myself."
He dropped my hands and shook his head.
"Forgive me for interrupting your night, Claire. I wish you well, and
I didn't sleep with him." He blinked. "I was too wrapped up in someone else to do that. But that someone else has clearly moved on. So maybe tonight I should go ahead and..."
"Stacy is just a friend."
"You two look like a lot more than friends. Friends don't put their arms around each other or play around like you two have been doing."
He rolled his eyes. "She's just a friend."
He placed my arms around his neck again and picked up the dance where we left off.
"Of all the men you could have dated after me, you chose Damian Edwards?"
"I didn't know I needed your approval for whoever I choose to date."
"Seem as though you were only supposed to be dating me. I'm sure you can see why I would be upset with your poor decision-making skills. You can do a lot better than him."
"Taking dating advice from an ex-boyfriend? How appropriate."
"I never did get a chance to buy you that thesaurus."
He tugged at the bow on the back of my gown.
"Does your new boyfriend know that I bought you this dress?"
"He doesn't know about you at all." He twirled me around.
"Does he make you happy?"
I didn't say anything. I continued dancing with him, trying to read his eyes and force the words I wanted to say out of my mouth. I'm sorry that I left you, Jonathan."
He stopped moving. "Excuse me?"
"I'm sorry that I left you." He sighed and twirled me again, not saying anything in response. He kept swaying me to the beat, acting as if I hadn't said anything important. I felt tears welling in my eyes and jerked out of his arms. "You don't believe me? I really am sorry. I didn't mean to hurt."
"You did. You left me for a bullshit reason, and you never even tried to explain what had been going on between you and my mother."
His eyes turned to slits.
"And the next time I happen to see you, you're wrapped up in my competitor's arms and his tongue is 10 feet down your throat. You saying I'm sorry is supposed to fix that? I haven't been able to think about another woman, let alone date one since you left me. Yet, here you are with Damian Edwards, damn near having sex on the beach."
"It's not what you think." I tried not to cry. "I was wishing he was you the entire time."
"So you did fuck him,"
he hissed.
"Because if he were me, that's exactly what you would be doing."
"No." He rolled his eyes.
"It took everything I had not to drag you out of that room at the opening ball, Claire. You're lucky some of my investors are here, because if they weren't, I swear to God I would have grabbed you by your..."
"Jonathan,
your nerve is unfucking believable. If I wasn't so angry with you, I'd fuck you right here so you could feel exactly how..."
"I love you, Jonathan." I leaned forward and pressed my finger against his lips. "I don't have any feelings for Damian, and I don't want to be with him. I'm only using him to get over you, and I am sorry for leaving. I really am. I don't expect me saying that to magically erase what I did, but it's the truth." He was silent for a while.
"Why did you come here with him at all? You knew there was a chance I would be here."
"I didn't."
"What's your excuse for kissing him in front of me, then? You knew damn well that I was watching you.
I was mad at you for letting Stacy get that close to you. I wanted to make you jealous.
I was already jealous.
He clasped my hands and started to dance with me again, staring into my eyes. As we moved across the floor, he rubbed the small of my back inside.
How are Ashley and Caroline?
They're doing okay. Caroline has a boyfriend now, and Ashley's currently grounded for taking my car without permission. I actually enjoyed having her home this past weekend. She helped keep my mind off.
Me?
I nodded. I've missed you so much. I don't know what I have to do to make you believe me, but...
Prove it.
Fine, I whispered. Kiss me.
In public?
His eyes lit up. He looked like he couldn't believe the words I'd just said.
Just because I'm about to kiss you doesn't change how angry I am.
He smiled as he pulled me closer.
You've pushed me to a limit that I didn't even know I had.
I didn't realize how much you meant to me, Jonathan. My lips were inches away from his now. Can we leave right now? We can disappear before Damien gets back and before the lights go up so people won't know what's going on. I just want to be with you and...
3 fucking months.
He dropped his arms from around me and stepped back. What? I...
You haven't said a word to me in 3 months, and you're still worried about being seen with me? Are you fucking serious? All that stuff you just said about missing me and wanting me back, and you're still stuck on this we can't be seen together in public shit?
I'm sorry, I just thought that...
That I would come running after you like I always do? That I would force myself to be in your life when you made it perfectly clear that that's not what you wanted? What the fuck were you thinking?
He looked hurt. Jonathan, I'm...
Did you consider my feelings at all? Did you think I wouldn't believe you if you told me about my mother? I would have, and I would have put a stop to it the second you told me about it. I'm done playing games with you, Claire. There are a lot of things that I can get over rather quickly, but this bullshit isn't one of them. I want you to choose.
What? What are you saying?
If you want to be with me like you say you do, and you really are in love with me like I'm in love with you, I need you to choose me over Damien.
I do. I just did. Can't you?
In front of him. With the lights on.
He narrowed his eyes at me.
I think you're still scared about us being seen together publicly, like you've been from the beginning. In the past, I was fine with that because I'm sensitive to things you're sensitive about. But I've told you that I don't half-ass anything, and I'm not going to put up with it anymore. I've done everything to show you that I want you and that I love you. It's your turn. Choose.
As if on cue, the lights in the room brightened to white, and Damien wrapped his arms around me from behind.
I'm sorry again, sweetheart.
He kissed the back of my neck.
You weren't alone for too long, were you?
I shook my head. No.
Oh, I see you found my favorite person. Again,
Damien shrugged.
Did you come to the conference alone, Jonathan? Where's your date? I'm not sure.
Jonathan looked directly at me.
Miss Grayson, have you seen the woman I'm supposed to be with?
Everything suddenly fell silent. It felt like the only people in the room were me, Jonathan, and Damien.
Did you say something, Miss Grayson?
Jonathan raised his eyebrow.
Have you seen who I belong with? The woman who wants to be with me, and only me.
My heart was racing and my palms were beginning to sweat. I swallowed, looking all around the room. Yes, I panicked. She's over by the bar. He nodded his head slowly, saying, I'm done, with his eyes.
Thank you very much. I guess I didn't notice her walk by us. All differences aside, he said as he reached out for Damien's hand, that was one hell of a demonstration you put on this afternoon. I wish I had thought of that wireless edition first.
Damien shook his head.
Thank you very much. That actually means a lot coming from you. Wait, you're not going to try and steal it from me, are you?
No, I already tried to steal what I wanted. He He reached out for my hand and shook it.
It was very nice seeing you again, Miss Grayson. I wish you both well.
And with that, he walked away.
Maybe he is becoming classier, Damien laughed. Would you like to continue our dance now?
Yes, my voice cracked. As he pulled me close and swayed me to the music, I buried my head in his chest and held back tears.
Why didn't I just say, "She's right here. I'm sorry, Damien, but I'm in love with Jonathan. I want to be with him." Why couldn't I just say that?
I'd been playing that scene in my mind all night, wishing I could rewind time and take what I said back. I even went looking for Jonathan after the ball ended, attempting to get a do-over, but his security guards wouldn't let me get close enough. I sniffled against my pillow for the umpteenth time, and felt Damien moving his arms from around me.
"Claire?" He stepped out of bed and hit the lights. "Why are you crying?"
I'm not crying. I choked back another sob. My allergies just make it look that way sometimes.
Would you like me to have room service bring you something?
No.
I can make you some tea.
He sat on the edge of the bed and caressed my hand.
Would you like some?
I sniffled.
Sure. Would you mind if I went down to the gift shop for a second?
What do you need? I can have someone bring it up.
Benadryl? But I could use the walk.
Alone.
He reached over me and pulled a few Kleenex off the nightstand. Come here. He pulled me up by my arm so I was sitting upright. When you get back from the shop, I want you to tell me the truth about why you're crying, okay? Whatever it is, I want to know. I can fix it, if you let me.
No, you can't. Okay, I murmured as he placed a kiss on my forehead. I'll be right back.
I slid out of the bed and grabbed my robe. I waited until I saw him disappear into the kitchen and walked out of the suite. As soon as the door shut, I ran down the hallway, straight to the elevators. I knew Jonathan was staying in the presidential suite. I'd overheard someone mention that at the ball, so I hoped I could catch him before he went to sleep. I pressed PS once I stepped onto the elevator and tried to calm my shaking hands as it moved from floor to floor. The doors opened, and I prepared to run down the hall, but I was greeted by a bellman in an all-white suit.
"Good evening, miss. How may I help you?"
"I need to see Jonathan Statham."
"Do you have an access key for this floor?"
"No."
"Well, I'm afraid I can't let you go any further, ma'am. This is an access-only floor. Perhaps if you called his handler and asked to be placed on the approved visitors list..."
His voice trailed off. "I really need to see him. It's important."
"My hands are tied, miss. I can't just let anyone beyond that door."
He motioned to the door that hid the rest of the floor from view.
"It's for presidential suite guests and approved visitors only. It's not up for discussion."
I broke down in tears. "Please... just, I know you don't know me at all, but I have to talk to him. It's a matter of..."
"Would you like me to call him for you?"
He looked concerned. I nodded, and he pulled a phone out of his pocket.
"Mr. Statham, this is Mr. Collins. I'm the bellman on your floor, and I'm calling because..." "Yes, my daughter did receive those chocolates you sent yesterday. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm calling because I have a woman here to see you. She says it's important, but we have a strict policy on presidential suite guests."
He looked up at me.
"What's your name, miss?"
"Claire Grayson."
"Her name is Claire Grayson, Mr. Statham." "Yes. Oh, I see. Well, thank you, sir. I apologize for interrupting your night. I'll see you in the morning."
He put his phone back in his pocket.
"He said he's not familiar with you, Miss Grayson. I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to leave now. He's a very valued guest, and I don't want to upset him any further."
"He does know me. I'm his..."
"He said he's never heard of you before, miss. Those were his words verbatim. Now, please leave before I call security."
My heart crumbled. I was speechless. I couldn't even think. I stepped back onto the elevator and rode it down to the lobby,
inspired to get the Benadryl more than ever, so I could try to sleep this pain away.
He doesn't know me? How can he say that? Is he that upset about earlier?
I let more tears fall down my face as I stepped off and headed towards the gift shop. I saw Greg ordering around a group of suited men and rushed over. I blurted, "I need to speak to Jonathan, and they won't let me up to the presidential suite."
"Excuse me for 1 minute, gentlemen."
He pulled me away from the group and raised his eyebrow. He reached into his jacket and handed me a handkerchief.
"Would you like me to deliver the message for you, Miss Grayson?"
"No, I... it's a really personal message. Can you take me up there with you? I'm sure if the guard saw me with you, he would..."
"He doesn't want to be bothered by anyone for the remainder of the conference, Miss Grayson. Those were his exact words to me."
"Please, Greg, I need to..."
"He wants to be alone."
His voice was clipped.
"Please," I cried. "I know we haven't been together for 3 months, but he means a lot to me. You have to believe that. Please help me."
Sighing, he grabbed my hand and led me around the front desk, greeting all of the managers, showing me a private elevator. He hit the top button, and the doors glided open immediately. As the cart rose, he turned to face me.
"When you get off, make 2 lefts and his room will be in front of you. This is the back entrance to his suite, so you'll have to be quiet, or the guard who stands in front of the other elevator will alert me or the hotel's head security. Understand?"
I nodded, and the doors opened seconds later.
"To the left, Miss Grayson."
I rushed off the elevator and headed for his room. I stood in front of the door for a few seconds, running my fingers across the golden nameplate that bore his name in newly painted cursive. I knocked once. No answer. I knocked twice. Nothing. I knocked again and again, louder and louder with each try.
"Hold on, hold on,"
a woman's voice came from the other side of the door. There was some shuffling, and then the door swung open.
"Oh, it's you."
Stacy Rodriguez stood in front of me wearing a light blue slip with her hair tousled all over her head.
Did he just have sex with her?
She pursed her lips and shook her head.
"Jonathan!"
She glared at me before walking back inside.
"He'll be right out, Claire."
I began to count the seconds with nervous taps of my foot. I was on the verge of more tears when I realized that 5 minutes had gone by. I took a step forward, tempted to step inside and confront him. But I saw him walk across the room. He took a long sip from his glass and slammed it down on the table. Then he turned towards me. He came to the door and stared into my eyes, expressionless. He opened his mouth to speak. But then he shook his head and started to close the door.
"Wait!"
I held my hand against the doorknob. "Please listen to me, Jonathan. I am so sorry. I didn't know what to say. You caught me off guard, and you know I'm not the public type, but that doesn't mean that I don't love you. I do, and I want to be with you. Please just, I'll go get Damien, bring him here, and tell him that..."
"Miss Grayson, I don't have time for any unscheduled meetings. I have enough on my plate this week with seminars and tech demonstrations."
He reached into his pocket and pulled out his business card, handing it to me.
"Feel free to schedule a meeting with my secretary at your earliest convenience. However, I'm booked through the end of the year, so don't expect an immediate appointment."
"What? Jonathan, you can't be serious. Please, let me..."
"Security?"
He held his phone up to his ear.
"I have an unapproved guest bothering me at my suite, and I'm not exactly sure where she came from or where she belongs."
I gasped.
"Enjoy the rest of the conference, Miss Grayson."
He shut the door in my face.
"Wait!"
I knocked on the door again, as forcefully as I could manage.
"Open the door, Jonathan. You didn't mean that. Come back. Come back!"
I started kicking at it, twisting at the doorknob, screaming at the top of my lungs. Before I knew it, Greg was picking me up and carrying me back onto the private elevator.
"Put me down, Greg. I need to talk to him. Don't let him do this to me. He said he doesn't know me, and you know that's not true."
I'd never behaved so erratically in my life.
"Please, I need to tell him I'm sorry again. He didn't understand me. Please. Please.
He set me down on the floor as soon as the door shut and hit 52, Damien's floor. He ignored my pleas and kept his face completely stoic. When the doors opened again, he gently grabbed me by my shoulders and walked me down the hall to my room. He pulled another handkerchief from his jacket, and as if he knew that I was too broken to do anything but cry, he wiped away my tears as they fell, waiting until they'd completely stalled. He reached into his pocket and handed me a bottle of Benadryl.
"I suggest you tell Mr. Edwards that you were lost and ended up at the gift shop on the other side of the resort. He called the front desk twice, wondering if you'd bought your medicine yet."
My hands shook as I clasped the bottle.
"Thank you, Greg. I know you don't have any obligation to me, but could I ask you for a favor?"
"Anything, Miss Grayson."
"Could you tell Jonathan that I said I love you? And that I meant it when I told him that?"
He looked sympathetic.
"Of course, Miss Grayson. Have a good night."
He patted my shoulder and walked away. Chapter 33. Claire. My reflection was lying to me. Again. She was showing me a happy woman in bright red lipstick and bronze eyeshadow. A woman who looked like she was having the time of her life. Not a heartbroken woman who'd spent every night this week crying herself to sleep. "You can do this. You can do this." I screwed the top onto my mascara and placed it into a bag. I stepped back from the mirror and twirled around in my dress, the sparkling nude-colored one that Jonathan had picked out months ago, the one I would have worn to the IPO ball. I'd hoped that by wearing it tonight, he would at least acknowledge my existence. Ever since I'd snuck up to his room a few nights ago, he'd gone out of his way to avoid me. He and Stacy were supposed to sit at our table all week for the daily breakfasts, but he had his seat changed. He was supposed to present Damien with an award at the Value Ball 2 nights ago, but he claimed he had an emergency, so he created a video for the audience to view instead. I saw him a few times in the hallways, and each time I would walk towards him and try to get his attention, but the security guards always kept me from getting too close.
"It's our last night here, sweetheart." Damien walked into the room and smiled at me. "I see that you've saved your best dress for the occasion."
I hate being called sweetheart. Why haven't I told him that? "Do we have to stay at the banquet the entire time?" I asked. I knew Jonathan was set to receive an award, and even though I wanted him to acknowledge me, deep down I knew that he wouldn't. I didn't want to sit and suffer as everyone else fawned all over him.
"Of course not. We can leave right after the closing statements."
"Great." He reached for my hand, and we walked out of the room and towards the elevator like we had several times before.
"Did you have fun this week?"
Damien pressed the down button. "Yes."
"Well, if you're not still..."
The loud ping of the elevators cut off his sentence. "What were you saying?" I walked onto the elevator and noticed Jonathan and Stacy standing together on the other side. Jonathan's eyes went straight to my dress, and if I wasn't mistaken, he swore under his breath.
"I was saying that if you wanted, you and I could go to another resort next weekend. I promise I'll turn off my cell phone and focus all my attention on you."
Damien put his arm around my hips.
"And you won't be on your, you know. Would you be interested in that?"
I felt the heat of Jonathan's glare on my back. "I'll have to think about it."
"Well, make sure you do that. It's a wonderful resort, and there's plenty of amazing water activities. It's also extremely private."
"Private things are definitely her specialty," Jonathan muttered. Damien must not have heard him because he continued,
"There's this beautiful mountain clearing that I'd love to take you to. We could spend the entire day there. There's also a lover's loft nearby."
"Stop it, Jonathan," Stacy whispered, and I wondered what she was talking about. "It sounds very tempting," I said as the elevator doors opened. Damien motioned for me to step off first, and looked back at Jonathan. "Congratulations, Jonathan. You actually deserve the Innovator of the Year award. Now, freeze that compliment and remember it. Because you know as soon as this conference is over, I'll go back to hating everything about you." Jonathan smiled. "Thank you, Damien. That makes two of us." I sat at the dinner table and picked at my food, too hurt to eat much of anything. Jonathan was sitting directly across from me, and he hadn't looked over at me once. Anytime he touched something on the table, butter, bread basket, pepper, I asked if he could pass it to me. But instead of doing that, Stacy answered for him. She would say, "Of course he can," and send it my way. I figured that since they were unable to switch their seats for this event, they'd planned a course of action for dealing with me. I even texted him several messages, desperate to get him to look at me. Just once. "Please look at me, Jonathan. You can't avoid me forever. I said I was in love with you. Doesn't that mean anything? Are you really that upset with me?" I saw him look through his phone, saw him read every single message, but he managed to keep his gaze elsewhere. I even tried the more blatant text message approach. "I know you like the way I look in this dress. I bet you wish you could take it off of me." I watched as he read my last two messages, as he glanced at them without a single emotion crossing over his face. "Would you like me to ask my assistant to bring you some food from elsewhere?" Damien looked at my plate. "You haven't eaten much at all today. I don't want you to get sick."
"I'm fine. I guess my appetite is a little off today," I sighed, as Jonathan and Stacy whispered something to one another.
"At least try the potato dish," he said. "It's to die for."
I picked up my fork and began eating some of it, nodding my head at how good it tasted.
"See?" Damien patted my thigh. "When do you want to leave? Now?"
"How about right in... Mr. Edwards?" A woman poked her head in between us. "We're setting everything up and we'll be ready for you in about 20 minutes. Are you ready to present?"
"Yes," he nodded. "I'll be there shortly."
The woman walked away and I grabbed his hand. "Ready to present what?"
"The Innovator of the Year award. Jonathan presented me with my award the other day, so it's only fair that I present him with his. Even if we don't see eye to eye, there's no one else as big in technology as the two of us, so..."
"So we can't leave right now?" He furrowed his brow.
"What exactly has been bothering you this week? And don't say allergies, because I don't think you actually have any."
"Nothing, it's..."
"Are you ever going to tell me why you were crying the other night?"
I sighed. "Yes. But could we please go..." "Mr. Edwards?" That woman came back over again. "We're going to start things a little earlier. Could you come with me, please?"
"We'll leave right after I present the award. Okay, sweetheart?"
He kissed my cheek and stood up, walking away from the table. I turned back towards Jonathan, frowning because his eyes were still glued elsewhere. I thought about leaving, about heading back to my suite and letting Damien find me there. But for some reason I sat and continued to watch Jonathan and Stacy laugh and whisper at something I couldn't see.
"Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?"
A beautiful brunette tapped the mic on stage.
"Before we give away our most prestigious award, I just want to thank you all for making the 2013 Juniper Conference a major success. Because of you, we have raised over $10 million for over 30 different charities."
The audience clapped, and the speaker waited for the applause to die down.
"We hope that the sessions you've attended this week have taught you something valuable, and that the people you've met have instilled a new sense of camaraderie and competitiveness amongst your respective companies. We usually make the closing statements on tonight, the last night of the conference, but due to an immense interest in Chef Roer's breakfast this week, we've decided to hold them off until tomorrow morning. Chef Roer has graciously agreed to cook an extra breakfast for us all."
The crowd cheered loudly, and Chef Roer stood up from his seat and waved his hand around. Once he sat back down, the crowd gradually became quiet again.
So, before we begin our final ball of the week, I'd like to bring someone we all know and respect to the stage. She read off a note card. This man has single-handedly changed the way technology influences our everyday lives. He's a dominating pioneer in the field, and his company, Apple Inc., is currently valued at $154 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the developer of the year, Mr. Damian Edwards. The crowd stood to its feet, clapping and cheering wildly. I stood up too, trying to plot my escape.
If this is the reception I get, I can only imagine what type of response the man I'm presenting will receive.
Damian laughed and motioned for the crowd to sit down.
About 11 years ago, my company was the number one software company in the world. As a young man, I was cocky and honestly didn't think that reign would ever end. We were ahead of all our competitors by the billions, and our workforce was quadruple of the next largest company at the time. One day, I happened to be giving a tour of my company to a select group of college kids who'd been sent from Harvard to complete a summer program. One of those students, who I've grown to hate, he paused as the audience laughed, one of those students came up to me right after the tour and said the following words, verbatim, "Mr. Edwards, with all due respect, your computers suck. You might want to focus on redesigning the internal instruments and building a bigger hard drive before I beat you to it." Of course, I laughed this kid off because at the time, computers were more about functionality than style, and we offered the largest hard drives on the market. Yet, exactly 1 year later, Statham Industries was formed, and I've been regretting my unwillingness to listen to that annoying kid for 11 years, he laughed. Ladies and gentlemen, the man I'm bringing to the stage as your unanimous pick for the Innovator of the Year for the 10th year in a row is a man who finally decided to show up here and accept it.
I felt myself laughing along with the crowd and stopped.
He is a man whose company is currently worth $200 billion, a man who develops the greatest ideas day in and day out, and a man who always seems to get the best stuff first. If you ever think you're onto something, he's probably had it in development years before the thought ever crossed your mind. He smiled. Please help me welcome my fiercest competitor and your Innovator of the Year, Mr. Jonathan Statham.
The response to him walking towards the stage was insane. The screams and cheers were deafening, and every person was on their feet. He walked on stage with his sexy stroll, smiling at the crowd, shaking Damien's hand and accepting the crystallized plaque.
"Thank you all very much," he spoke into the mic. "This award means a great deal to me, and I'm sorry it took me so many years to join you here. I promise I'll make every effort to show up in the years to come."
He looked at his speech.
"I have a few people I'd like to thank for inspiring me. First, I'd like to thank Mr. Lowell, the only professor who openly encouraged his students to drop out," he said, laughing. "I'd also like to thank my parents, who left old devices around the house and helped me to realize what my true talent was. My employees who make me work harder every day. My good friend and head of security, Corey Walters. Every corporation that I've ever partnered with. My worst enemy, Damian Edwards. And most importantly, the woman who has..."
He paused, looking at the sheet of paper in his hands as if he couldn't believe what he'd written. He cleared his throat.
"I'd like to thank my good friend, Stacy Rodriguez, who manages to put up with me through it all. Thank you all very much."
The crowd clapped and remained standing as he put the mic down and began to take pictures with the people on stage.
"He's so sexy. I know. I wish I was Stacy Rodriguez tonight,"
the two women behind me laughed. My chest tightened as I watched him slip his arm around Stacy, as I watched the two of them smile together and pose for pictures. Tears fell down my face, and I made no move to wipe them away. I kept wishing that he would turn around, that he would see my face in the crowd and walk towards me.
but he kept posing for pictures, laughing and shaking hands, like he didn't care about me at all. He pulled Stacy against his side as he prepared for another photo. The flash went off 3 times, and she stood on her toes and kissed him on the cheek. "I've had enough of this shit." I pushed my chair up to the table and walked towards the stage, weaving my way through all the suits and adoring women who kept gushing over him. I took the steps on the right side of the stage and paused, looking at Jonathan as he bent down for another kiss from Stacy. "Claire?" Damien grabbed my wrist. "Are you okay? Are you that ready to go? I snatched my hand away from him and walked towards the center of the stage.
"And thank you so much for your generous gift, Mr. Statham. My company is so honored that you..."
"Excuse me." I stepped directly in front of the man who was addressing Jonathan.
"Yes, Miss Grayson?"
Jonathan raised his eyebrow.
"Kyle, get security," I heard someone murmur. "This is the 10th time this week."
I took one step closer to Jonathan and looked into his eyes. I wanted to say something, but the words were trapped in my throat, and I couldn't concentrate with everyone in the audience staring at me. I closed the gap between us and wrapped my arms around his neck, kissing him, as if we were the only people in the room. I heard the crowd's collective gasp, saw Damien's jaw drop from the corner of my eye. But I didn't care. I shut my eyes and kept kissing him, pressing myself against his chest, trying to force his lips apart with my tongue. It wasn't until I blinked my eyes open that I realized he wasn't kissing me back. I drew my arms away and stepped back, noticing that he was still raising his eyebrow at me, confused. I looked out into the silent crowd, blushing bright red, as the women began whispering to one another.
I'm so sorry, I stammered. I thought that if I
felt the tears falling.
I'm sorry.
I looked around at all the people on the stage, at the angry expression that was on Damien's face. I turned around to face Jonathan again and shook my head.
I'll get out of your way now. I really am sorry, and...
Don't be.
He pulled me back into his arms and pressed his lips against mine, suffocating me with a long, appreciative kiss. I could feel his mouth upturned into a smile as he caressed my tongue with his, as he kissed me like there was no tomorrow.
"Mr. Statham."
Greg cleared his throat, but Jonathan held me even tighter and kept kissing me.
"Mr. Statham? Mr. Statham!"
Greg's voice was firmer, making Jonathan finally pull away.
"Yes, Greg?"
He grinned at me.
"You have a list of other people to take pictures with and speak to tonight. If you would like, I can escort Miss..."
"No, I'll take care of it."
He kissed me one more time and walked over to the people on the other side of the stage. I could only hear fragments of what he was saying.
"First thing tomorrow. I need to address this now. Yes, I'll sign whatever you want tomorrow. I'll donate double. Thank you so much."
The orchestra began to play on the backstage. One of the organizers had frantically run back there once I kissed him, and the crowd slowly diverted their attention from us to the dance floor. I saw him walk over to Stacy and say a few words, and then I felt Damien grabbing my hand.
"Is this some type of joke, Claire?"
His eyes hardened.
"I bring you here and you fuck my competition?"
"What?
Is that what you've been doing during the day while I've been at meetings, sleeping with Jonathan Statham behind my back?"
He sounded more angry than hurt.
"Do you know how what you just did makes me look? Did you even think about that?"
"Damien, I'm sorry you had to find out this way, but I'm in love with Jonathan, and I have been for a while now. I'm sorry for agreeing to date you when I wasn't over him. I really do mean..."
"This is why I only date younger women. I should have known that someone like you with all your baggage..."
"Excuse me?"
Jonathan wrapped his arm around my waist.
"Is there a problem here, Damien?"
"No."
Damien seemed to wither a bit.
"Are you sure?"
Jonathan's tone was threatening. I'd never heard him this heated before.
"Is there something you and I need to discuss outside? It can be arranged."
"Fuck you, Jonathan."
Damien narrowed his eyes at me.
"And fuck you too, Claire."
He said something else under his breath, as he walked away.
See? I wasn't lying to you,
Jonathan said. He wasn't right for you at all. He kissed my hair and led me off the stage and out of the ballroom. As we walked towards the elevators, he kept looking down and smiling at me. I wanted to ask what he was smiling about, but I was happy simply seeing him smile again, for whatever reason it was. We rode up to his floor in silence, staring at one another.